labor. If you go to a coffee farm nowadays in Brazil, the vast majority of people you see there working are 40 plus years old. So you barely see young people working there. So that's the first thing, first challenge we must address. Otherwise, coffee will be decreasing in Brazil as well.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode one of a brand new five-part series with Fabricio Andrade from San Coffee in Brazil. Fabricio, welcome to the podcast for the first time.
Oh, hello, Lee. It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
This is a conversation that has been a few years in the making. We met in an elevator at, I think it was MICE, and it was such a fascinating conversation, and I'm so glad that we finally got to do this so many years later, especially because of when we got to do this, when we're going to get to do this. I have a belief that 2024 and 2025 are going to be very volatile years in the coffee supply chain, and we are coming off of a couple of years since 2020, I guess, of very volatile years. And I think that this is going to accelerate. And with your background in all of the things that you've studied, I think you're the perfect person to have this conversation with. So could you start by telling everybody what you do and where you're working at now?
Oh, perfect. By the way, I'm also excited to be here because I am one of the followers of your podcast.
Aww.
So I love it.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I am also a coffee grower. I was born in a coffee farm. Actually, my dad is still it. Does it. He's a small producer. And then I studied. I work with him for helping him because he also wanted us to study and to have the possibility to do something else than only be trapped into with only one opportunity, which was coffee. But we did, we studied myself and my twin brother, we both worked in coffee till nowadays. And fast forward, I did agronomics in the university, trying to understand better about agriculture. And then when I was about to finish the college degree, I came to realize that we were at a good position to produce things by the biological perspective, but I didn't have any knowledge about management in the supply chain, more internally, kind of cost of production, cash flow, and this kind of stuff. We used to know about it, but nothing outside the farm gate, which kind of the supply chain as a whole, kind of how price of coffee is created. Where should we be paying attention to in order to add more value to our products and this kind of stuff that there are still nowadays many producers that lack the knowledge about it. And I was lucky that I was accepted in the master degree in the Department of Economics in the same university and also working at the same time with my former master degree advisor. And then we founded a company to provide consultancy to banks, multinationals, government, and so forth in agribusiness. So it was a very productive time for me. And somewhere in 2011, when I was about to finish the master's degree, I got in touch with Henrique Cambraia, who is the producer in Samambaia Farm and also the president of Sun Coffee, the cooperative. Mm-hmm. And then I came across the specialty coffee sector. Because at that time, before meeting him, I was only I use only to understand coffee by the perspective of commodity, which is based in high yields, low cost of production, cash flow, and risk management. So this is the three main pillars of a good business in any commodity, from iron ore to coffee. And then, especially coffee, caught my attention out of purpose and out of possibility to bring a fourth pillar into the mathematics equation of coffee, which is value added. So I got interested about it, and I started providing consultancy to Enrique and his farm, and later on in some coffee. And I wanted to learn more about specialty coffee, and I got lucky again, and I was accepted to the university to do the PhD with Professor Flavio Borain, who still works with coffee quality processing methods and this kind of stuff. And then I stayed at the university for 4 years, but still working in many fronts. And 2017, when I finished the PhD at the university, Enrique and the board of directors of SunCoffee, they invited me to be full-time in SunCoffee. And now, since then, I've been the CEO there, and it's a lovely and challenging journey. But I've been enjoying a lot because SunCoffee is a different business model. We are an independent B Corp, especially coffee cooperative, really focused in relationships with our producers, with our roasters, really involved the impact, seeking to bring prosperity into the community within we work in. And in a sense, reshaping the meaning of working in coffee and try to bring the young generation to be excited about it. So that's the, in a nutshell, what I've done and what we are aiming for into the future.
That's a great place to start when you say bringing in the next generation into the industry or into wanting to be involved in coffee, because labor and succession is a big part of the volatility in the supply chain, not just over the next 2 years, but definitely when it comes to succession over the next 10 to 20 years. Being in coffee and it being such a complex agricultural product, the opportunity cost there for the next generation doesn't quite add up for a lot of them from what a lot of them are saying. We're going to start the conversation in this episode. We're addressing the idea of what is the volatility over the next 12 to 24 months. So do you want to start at the conversation about, I guess, labor and the availability of labor in the supply chain over the next 12 to 24 months? And we can touch on that very briefly, and we'll talk about it as we move on through this series. But what are some of the volatilities around that, and why is labor volatile for us?
That's a great question, Lee. I've been studying and also talking about it, volatility challenges within some coffee community, but also Brazil as a producing country, because I am also volunteer my time as a president of National Coffee Commission and the Confederation of Livestock Agriculture in Brazil, which is the official body to represent the producers alongside Brazilian government. So we've been talking a lot about two main things that I believe are the challenges for the producers within the next couple of years ahead. First, labor. If you go to a coffee farm nowadays in Brazil, the vast majority of people you see there working are 40 plus years old. So you barely see young people working there. So that's the first thing, first challenge we must address. Otherwise, coffee will be decreasing in Brazil as well. And the second thing is climate change or weather-related problems. It's been really, really tough for us to manage our way forward within too much volatility brought by the weather conditions. So from market perspective within the farm, those are the two most important challenges that we've been facing as coffee producers here in Brazil. And of course, there are alternatives, that are tools, but we need to be working immediately because those are not things that are to take place in the future. They are things that we are facing right now.
So how immediate is the response that's going to need to happen to labor? And is it something that automation can fix? I, from all of the conversations that I've been having with people, all stakeholders across the supply chain, they're saying, well, Brazil's lucky because they can mechanize. But it seems like even Brazil is having issues with regards to labor, even though you can mechanize.
It's not only Brazil that we need to mechanize. There is a study from the World Economic Forum 2023, mm-hmm. and I watched the results in a BBC Brazil video. And according to this research, of the 10 most promising professions in the world up to 2040, only one is not high-tech related. It's in the ninth place, which is agricultural machine driver. So everywhere in the world, there will need to be any kind of automation, and not only in Brazil. But then Brazil, it's a little bit luckier to be able to mechanize its production. But still, you need people to drive the machines, to do maintenance, to de-branch the coffee tree. So there are still many labor to be done. Like overall speaking, mechanization brought us to a point where we are nowadays as Brazilian coffee producers, where we one person, we have in all the farms one person for 10 to 20 hectares of coffee fields. Right. And it used to be one per 5 hectares. So we improved a lot, but 1 to 20 hectares, still we need 4 million people working in coffee sector. We still do it. We have it. 3 million people working directly in coffee. So there are limits to mechanization to help us out overcoming this challenge. And then come other things that we need to do. We need to reshape the meaning, like I said, we are aiming for at Sun Coffee, of working coffee. Because have you listened or watched to that TED Talk video, which is The Puzzle of Motivation, Daniel Pink? It's
no, I've got to see that.
Because yeah, you should, because then it's the right way forward, I believe, for the any industry, any company that wants to attract and to retain talent. You need to bring people purpose, autonomy, and the condition to master themselves. So we need to create a set to set up our industry, our supply chain as coffee producers and exporters and roasters that people feel proud. They feel that they're working in something cool and that they are helping the world to be a better place. So that's our goal at Sun Coffee. And I hope that we can influence more people in Brazil to do the same. So we can have more people, we can have younger people, we can have more engaged people that will help us to produce coffee more sustainably into the future.
How do we take a job like somebody who is helping coffee, helping a machine with its coffee production? How do we make something like that inspiring and motivating for somebody who is 20 years old?
That's a good point. The first one is purpose. And I am a deep believer that. And that's the way I see capitalism. I see capitalism as a tool, not as a goal, the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
And whenever we engage with the community, we engage with the environment, then we try to raise the tide to everybody in the community through coffee. That's the first point. And the second, we need to use work with higher quality, with the environment, bringing more technology like drones and this kind of stuff, AI, and then we can be more effective than the younger generation.
Is that going to...
It's not easy, Lee. There'll be many fronts that you need to tackle.
It's nice for us to say it here on a podcast and talk about it and make it sound like it's, we're just going to get some drones and put some AI and then the 20-year-olds will care. Except the price of coffee does not necessarily facilitate being able to do those kinds of things, particularly in origins where mechanization is not possible, and particularly on farms where mechanization is not possible.
That's another good point. That I believe that the roasters in the consuming market, they will play a very, and they have been doing so, play a really important role as well, helping us to make this younger generation feeling good about producing coffee, helping us to bring a little bit more value addition, fair for them to more equitably distributed, and also rewarding them by recognizing the work that we all have been doing together in the supply chain, displaying the growers' face, talking about their lives, talking about their struggles, engaging the final consumers to understand that coffee is not only a black beverage that comes from the supermarket shelf, because there are many people working, many environment benefits of growing coffee responsibly. So bringing people, the final consumers, to understand that coffee should, there are a lot of value in coffee, a lot of people, and they should be willing to pay a little bit more for the cup of coffee they consume every day. So the roasters and the players from the consuming side can also help us a lot achieving that recognition and value.
And you raise such an important point here, which leans right into this, the heart of the theme of what we're discussing over this series. There's so many factors here that have so much volatility when you look at what Gen Z wants to age into when it comes to coffee, the cost of coffee, the idea of a cost of living crisis and the role that that's going to have when people are looking to pick something off a supermarket shelf, the relationship between the consuming end of the supply chain and the producing end of the supply chain. And as the next generation of roasters age into their businesses, how are they building relationships, given the shift in the mindset that they've got, with producers who are perhaps the generation above them and the purpose that they can find together? All of this is leading me to wonder about the price of coffee and how we got here. And that's what we're going to talk about
Okay.
in the next episode, folks. So please join us for the next episode. This is going to be a fantastic series. I've been
For
so
sure.
excited about this series for so long. I'm so glad it's here. Join us in the next episode, folks. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.